Well, if we can't talk about authentic Indian writers, can we at least talk about real Indian food? Or for that matter, authentic Chinese or Mexican food? Well, that's also a problem, as food writer Barry Glassner told Steve Paulson.
I used to think, you know, there are authentic ethnic restaurants, you know, there's an authentic Thai restaurant and an inauthentic one, you know, there's an authentic Chinese restaurant and an inauthentic one. I got to go to the authentic one. What I discovered is that the differences are mostly in the minds of people who think the way I used to, you know, that one is just, you know, some sort of grossly Americanized version of the food, and the other is the way it was back in the old country. And what you really find is that there are different forms of authenticity. Some of the best dishes in ethnic restaurants don't go way back, but they're very authentic. They were created by chefs and cooks and people who care a lot about food from the culture in question. They use ingredients that are near and dear to people in those cultures, and they're delicious, but they may not have been consumed 100, 200, 300 years ago.
But maybe we should just get rid of the whole word authentic then. Maybe it just doesn't mean anything when it comes to talking about food.
I think authenticity has very limited use these days. It's hard for me to think of examples where you can really rely upon it. Now, the notion that we were trying to get at, or that we try to get at through this, I think is an important one. You know, we do want to know if we are from outside a particular culture or cuisine. You know, what is it that makes this cuisine great and is characteristic of this cuisine? Those are important questions to ask.
Right. When you walk into a Chinese restaurant, it's always encouraging to see a number of Chinese patrons there. I mean, you think, okay, maybe the restaurant is getting it right, or, you know, translated to a Thai restaurant or a Vietnamese restaurant, same kind of thing. You assume there's a certain level of authenticity there.
I think that's right. Now, today, of course, some of the finest restaurants that serve foods that come from particular ethnic traditions, ethnic cuisines, have made their way into other kinds of places. So, you know, some of the best sushi I've had is at very high-end restaurants by either French chefs or French-trained chefs. Now, why is that the case? Well, in some cases, when I asked the chefs, it was very clear right away. That's what they enjoy eating when they get off work. You know, they live in places like, you know, London. They've been to Tokyo a lot, or they've worked in Tokyo and so forth. And, you know, this is what they enjoy eating themselves. And so they've sort of tutored themselves and incorporated elements of those cuisines in their own work. So, you know, in that way, too, it gets complicated, right? Is the finest sushi preparation, the fact that it's in the hands of a French chef, does that make it less authentic? I don't think so, and I don't think a great sushi chef in Tokyo would say that either.
Well, and then there's also the question of whether Americans want truly authentic food, if we define authentic as being cooked the way it is back in the home country, especially when it comes to spicy food, because we know that a lot of Americans just don't like very spicy food.
Well, in some cases, I talked to the chefs and owners of restaurants that are considered very authentic, you know, the ultimate authentic place, you know, by people like followers of Chowhound.com and others, and, you know, and writers who are very interested in authentic ethnic cuisine. And what I was told time and again is, you know, my American customers don't really want that. In fact, I've had to change it in this way or that way. And these are not random American customers. Moreover, you know, in some cases, it's just very difficult for them to get some of the ingredients that they would need to prepare the food the way that they would have in their home country or the way their grandmother would have done it. And to get those ingredients, then, you know, you would have to fly them a very long distance, which creates other problems. And finally, you know, what they point out to me a lot is that a wonderful benefit for them in being in this country is that they have access to other ingredients that work beautifully in the recipes and that they love working with and that they see as just, you know, kind of integral improvements in their cooking.
I totally understand your critique of this cult of authenticity in food, and yet there's still a part of me that wants to find that restaurant run by, let's say, a Peruvian chef who's just come from Peru recently and is now living in the city where I am and cooks in a way that seems to come straight out of Peruvian cuisine. Am I just misguided here?
I feel the same way. But the way I would put it is a little differently, right? I would love to see what that person is cooking right now, right? And compare it to some other great Peruvian food that I can find. And then I'd love to come back in a year and see if it's changed, and in 2 years and see if it's changed. You know, so to me, it's a kind of evolving matter, and it's not so much about the authenticity of it, which I suspect would be hard for that person to defend, even him or herself, right? You know, is there an ingredient that the chef's grandmother on one side of the family uses and the chef's grandmother on the other side of the family doesn't use, or that they use in different amounts in a particular recipe? You know, it gets very complicated when you really get down to what's involved in the cooking. But the quest for really wonderful taste experiences and for expanding, you know, my culinary horizons is unending for me, as I think it is for many people.
Barry Glasner is the author of the book, The Gospel of Food. He talked with Steve Paulson.